Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Phyllis Pricer with Higher Dimension. I'm so glad to be able to talk to you this evening. You know, there's been a lot happening in my life lately, and there's a lot happening in the world. And I've had a few people say, well, why don't you talk about some world events and give some intake from what you've had? I've been doing channeling sessions, for about 2 years now. And a lot of it speaks to the times that we are in, and the new age and the new era. I tell you, I've been inspired for the last week or so to talk to you about this, and so that's what I'm going to do. There are so many amazing happenings that people are becoming more and more aware of their life and what's around them, and the new energies that are coming in that are making life so much easier. You know, this is an 8-year. This is a year of abundance. This is a year of abundance, not just in monetary things, because quite frankly, money is just a material manifestation of the abundance and the spiritual and emotional and intellectual or psychological life of everyone. Abundance is always there. It's when we are afraid of things, when we fear things, that we lack abundance in our lives. And this could be not only money, but abundance in spiritual happenings, in dreams, in friendships, in love. One of the things that you know, we learn as we grow, as we start off life with joy and happiness and peace. As small children, we have our parents. Most of us are blessed that way. A few are not, with good parents. But we start off with the gifts of the Holy Spirit for when we come back into this earth plane from our sojourn between lives and other dimensions, where we rest and recuperate and learn new skills or fine-tune some skills we've already learned, we bring these with us. Walt Whitman said we trail streams of glory as we come when we are born on this earth plane. And we forget these. As children, you know, we are so close to nature, to ourselves, to our families. There are no needs for words very often between siblings and very often between offspring and their parents, because we have this unique quality of mental telepathy, of knowing each other, of reading minds. And as we get more and more into this environment of ours, this life of ours, we learn and hear things that cause us to fear. Many times we're taught fear. We don't know fear. We're taught it. Oh, don't touch that. It's sharp. You'll cut yourself. Oh, don't do that. You'll fall and bruise. Don't do this. Don't do that. And, you know, after a while, your mind, your conscious mind, your reptilian brain at the back of the base of your skull says, well, I better not. I better not. I better not. There is so much fear that we absorb, and we also bring negative patterns with us. Fears from other lifetimes and lessons learned, experience, and the emotions we bring with us. You know, I better not love and open and trust myself, because if I do, I'll get hurt. I better not use my psychic skills, because the last time I used them, I got hunted down as a witch, burned at the stake, had rocks thrown at me. You know, all sorts of things, and we bring this fear with us. This age of ours, and what the Christ consciousness and the man Jesus brought with us, for us, was the age of love, the age of our connectedness, the oneness to the source of all there is. This is for all people, whether we call God by any name other than God, Allah, Yahweh, Dios, whatever word, the Great White Father, the Supreme One, the Great Spirit. It doesn't matter. We all mean the same thing, that source from whom we have come. And the thing is, we often say these words, we are created in the likeness and image of God. And at that point, we sort of fall into a paralysis or a mental blues or neutrality or gray zone. I'm not sure what to call it. But it's one of separateness. We forget that we are souls, primarily, first, foremost, always, forever. We are spirit. We are souls who happen to be abiding for this time being in the physical trappings of a body called human in this world dimension we live in here. And we perceive ourselves as separate from the source, from the creator. It would be the same thing, I guess, as dressing our body in different clothes. And each time we put on different clothes, we say we're separate from the body that we're in, that the clothes completely stand alone and go and do their own thing while the body sits around doing nothing. You know, it's kind of that silly when you get down to it. But we are the supreme being. We are beings within the supreme being. And we are one with God, the source of all there is, the light, the glory, the joy. I had a conversation yesterday with my TV producer, marvelous human being, a very spiritual man. We are doing a lot together. And he's been in production out in Los Angeles. He's been around. He's been a social worker and a teacher. A lot of education. And we got into a conversation where he said I was rather naive and I was rather brought up and how difficult things are and in the street, in the ghetto, in poor neighborhoods, in poor countries. You know, people don't understand the spirit. The spirit doesn't, you know, people can't get back to the spirit because of their circumstance. This is all they know. And so to expect people to see God within and God around themselves is almost impossible because they're not educated. They haven't had the privilege, et cetera, et cetera. And I got kind of passionate about it because he was talking about situations where women, in my opinion, mind you, and I have to say that I am awfully naive about certain things. I must admit I was carefully raised and an only child. I didn't even have siblings to be concerned about, quite frankly, at home. My siblings were grown when I was born and brought up. But it made me realize one thing, is that I can always slip back, if I'm not careful, into the old way of thinking of separateness. And when I got passionate and unleashed a torrent of, well, I believe the human body is a temple, and I believe it's a physical temple on earth, it's a physical manifestation, and it's holy, and no one has a right to it. And if we only look in ourselves and believe, you know, we can change our circumstances. And he was saying, oh, you're basically, I'm being naive and short-sighted and maybe even snobbish. And, you know, I have to look at it that way. Perhaps I came across that way. It was not my intent. But what I thought about later as I listened to him to describe how certain women, in order to survive, had to basically exchange food, clothing, shelter, money for sex with someone. And it was sort of like a man would have resources, as he put it, and live in a neighborhood, and women who were abused or their husbands had left or boyfriends or whatever, and here they were, uneducated, poor, et cetera, and they had no way of earning money and so forth. So they would come to him and say, you know, exchange for sex, would you give me money for rent, da-da-da-da-da-da. And my feeling was I got very passionate because, you see, for me, he was doing something that was demeaning to the women. I said, well, if he was going to give them money free and clear, that would be wonderful. But I was very passionate about it, and I shouldn't have been. I should have been much more neutral because that was almost, in fact, it was, I can say, judgmental on my part. And something we don't want to be is judgmental. And where do I go with this? Back to fear. Fear is what drives negative passions, the fear of being separate, the fear of not knowing what's going to happen or thinking that we're alone. Each of us, I don't care where we were born, how we were born, the circumstances where we were born, we bring with us these memories of fear. And this often is based on, of course, the separateness that we perceive between us and God. And, you know, that's not met by grade school education or regular education. It's met by becoming aware or hearing spirits speak to us, or those who have the light of God, the Word of God in some instances it's called, the Spirit of God in others, that enlighten each soul right where they are so they can open up and say, oh, yes, now I see, I am a part of God. And I got so passionate because I was trying to explain to him that each soul is, number one, where they have chosen to be in time and place on this earth through lessons they have chosen to learn. And the attributes of the soul are there to be awakened. All they have to do is ask. And all any one of us has to do is say something like, we each of us are God. We each of us are one with God. And once we accept this and are aware of it, and we can open ourselves to the Spirit creating miracles in our life. Many religious people are out there, and they're not ministers, and many of them are. But there are many. Anyone who helps their neighbor, who extends their hand in friendship to help someone else without asking something for return, they are doing a godlike thing. But even so, I thought to myself, I forgot the most basic premise. We are all from the source. We are all a part of the source. And everything around us and what we're in is an illusion delusion that can be changed by a dawning or an awakening or an instantaneous awareness of who we really are. There are many wonderful ways we can do this. And just being who we are, where we are each day, is one of the most remarkable ways of bringing about the Spirit of God into practice and who we really are. I've just picked up a book, and I'm one of the Johnnycum Latelys, written by James F. Twyman, T-W-Y-M-A-N, called Emissary of Light, His Adventure with the Secret Peacemakers in Bosnia and Croatia. And I've heard of him. He's called the Singing Troubadour, the Peace Concerts. He also is a student and teacher of The Course in Miracles. And I started reading this book, and I'm saying, well, you know, things are making sense to me. All of this time, we walk around in fear each and every day. And if we remember the FEAR acronym, which is F, false, E, experiences, A, appearing, R, real. False experiences appearing real is really what fear is. Fear is the delusion, that which we separate ourselves from God. We use to separate ourselves. Not that we are separated from that, and we each of us, no matter what our circumstances, has the ability to come through and become aware of that because the spark of the divine exists within each of us, irrespective of where we are in our lives, where it's in a very poor section of Washington, D.C., or in Bosnia or Serbia or Afghanistan or Kuwait or China or Africa. It doesn't matter. Where we are is where we have put ourselves. And in that place and in this time, we can know ourselves to be one with God, irrespective of that. And as each of us, and this is how I understand it, as each of us, ourselves, on our own journey back to our source, becomes aware of the spark of the divine, that true Godhead within each of us, on our awareness of joy and love, miracles take place. Absolutely take place. Dark becomes light, sadness, joy, ill health, health, lack, abundance. All of these take place as soon as we ourselves make that shift, that mental shift, that choice to say, I will allow myself to allow God into my life, or to recognize my own Godhead or my own divinity, or by whatever words that you are felt led or feel led to believe in your own heart. It is very, very difficult sometimes to do that because we all seem to think we can handle things. I know I was raised, God who helps those who help themselves first. You know, God is your last resort, not your first resort. You know, when you've done everything else, then you get on your knees and pray. And there's something to be said about doing things under your own steam because if you could sit there, you know, you could grow real old real fast doing nothing. It doesn't mean inactivity and just allowing God to be a very large servant to run around doing your bidding. It doesn't mean allowing fear to leave your life. And that takes time. Again, it's like an onion that you peel. You keep thinking you've let go this or that and the other thing, and you know, every once in a while you think you've come to the inner core, and aha, and then you find yourself with another one. So letting fear dissolve and melt away in your life is the way to happiness and the source of oneness. And this book by Mr. Twyman is very, very clear about that. And he offers some good examples or exercises and techniques to use. They are similar to techniques that are used elsewhere. These techniques that I have found in Jin Shin Jitsu is allowing the healing in the body to take place. We as practitioners of this healing art are simply conduits or conductors, allowing the God energy that was within us to greet the God energy within another person. And this is such another gift that we have, is that it comes to us in multiple forms. This information comes to us in all major religions. This information comes to us in all good-hearted and generous and saintly people. This information has been mixed with our next-door neighbor or our parents or an aunt or an uncle or a teacher or a friend. This information is not hidden anymore. It's not hoarded away in the depths somewhere, but it is brought out in the light of day to shine. And in the last couple of years, as we all know, the Mayan calendar is bringing up 2012 as an ending year, 2024, something like that. But most people are saying somewhere, and Chiron is another one talking about this, 2008 to 2010, 2012, all of this is coming to an end times. And the end times bring, yes, upset and chaos, but what it is, in my understanding, what I'm seeing is a catharsis of forcing out or letting go of all negative energy. Anger can only turn, and fear can only turn in on itself and cause conflict. All conflict really comes from within each and every one of us. It's sort of like an energy source. Like one candle doesn't do much, but if you have a whole bunch of candles, you have a pretty well-lighted room, and that's very true. Anything that is added energy to creates a greater force as more is added to it. For how many millennia has man fought in himself and with his brother? And I think in the wonderful Bible of Cain and Abel, I think also in a sense we think of it as two separate brothers, but if we look at it maybe in another sense, as in one side of us accepting God and the other side seeing us as separate from God. And then we are like two brothers or two sisters warring inside of us in conflict of which is the greater. And one working in fear and the other working in love and light. But the channeling that I have done has brought about, has whatever voices are coming through me, the information that I channel, has said a lot about this conflict coming to an end. That there is going to be greater conflict, the places coming up here and there around the world, hot spots, but as a cleansing activity, that those who are holding on to the negative energy, to the old energy as some people call it, but let's call it conflictive anger, fear. Yes, may I help you? Is someone calling? I guess not. I thought somebody was calling in. Hello? At any rate, I guess not. I thought there was a call. At any rate, with this energy coming in to us, it is causing it to conflict and explode within itself and eventually die out. That what is going to be left from this energy, and it's been very clear in the channelings, that this energy is going to end up with peace. Peace and love and healing. That the hurricanes that we've had, the tsunamis we've had, the conflicts between this sect and that sect in Afghanistan and Iraq, these things are coming to an end. And the negative energies, the forces that have been built up over the millennia, are really destroying themselves. Negativity is meeting negativity. Anger and conflict is turning within and burning out as it does, because when energy hits and explodes, then the force is scattered. And so that's, in a sense, what's happening. The Earth also absorbs energies. I mean, it's really a multidimensional and multi-level concept here with the Earth. Mother Nature feels the conflict as well. We have natural geography, of course, that which with the Teutonic plates, that with the volcanoes, that with the winds and tides and the spinning of the Earth on her axis, the sun, all of these things, the gravitational pull, all of these things have a balance. There's a push and pull on energy which keeps things in balance. Whenever it gets out of balance, a buildup, that's when you have the problem. We perceive it as problem, but with the buildup and the explosion, there is the immediate lessening of this disruptive energy and a release of energy, so things go back in balance. The same thing when the Teutonic plates hit and they grind together, one slips under the other, that's where you have earthquakes and lands thrusting up and things breaking apart. But as soon as that pressure which has built up and brought about those is released, then balance and harmony comes back and is restored again. And the same thing with storms, of course. And I really don't want to get into too much of an explanation, because really I'm not a scientist and I can only skim the surface. But I wanted to point out to you all that this is what is happening. And people are saying, why is it happening? It's happening because we are coming to a change in times where the old energy is leaving. And the more we see greed, the more we see selfishness, the more we see this building, 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 and it comes and it clashes. And the forces hit, and they implode. And what happens is a balance. And the greater time now is, this is the time for the love energy, as again I'm going to repeat, was signified by the Christ coming into this earth plane to bring to us the period of time and peace. And there are many, many, many of us who are light workers, who are wonderful human beings, as we all are. And that's what we don't realize. Everyone is a wonderful human being. And our love energy is being awakened and brought to our attention. And that is the fullness of energy, that indeed we are moving farther and farther ahead into this wonderful, wonderful world of ours. And in my own life, I have gone through a lot of chaos and a lot of upset, as many people have in a few years, and they're wondering why they are. And as soon as you become aware of the fullness of what is going on, and you come to awareness of why are you being brought to this, so you can see, so you can take down the scales from your eyes, the shutters, open the blinds, and see it's a wonderful life. All of you are spiritual human beings. I'm going to take just a second now to organize my thoughts for a moment. And meanwhile, I just wanted to say that this segment of the show is being brought to you by Comfort One Shoes. Comfort One for the levels of comfort and beauty and comfort of the feet. Great styles for both men and women. Luxury shoes, sandals, espadrilles, European comfort and style. Comfort
Hello?
One Shoes.
Hello?
I will be with
Hello?
You. Yes, may I? I'll be right with you. One second. You can reach Comfort One Shoes at 202-408-4947. Now we have a caller. May I help you?
Hi, good evening, Phyllis.
Good evening.
My first time listening to your show.
Okay. And you are?
I'm enjoying it thus far.
Okay, and your name is? We're getting some funny noises back there.
I have challenges sometimes with electronics. So.
Oh, gee, so many people do. And your name is?
Diana.
Diana, how nice to talk to you. Do you have a question, or did you want to add a comment?
No, I understand you do dream interpretations, and it seems I'm talking to a lot of my woo-woo friends, and they're getting much more vivid dreams.
Absolutely.
As am I.
Okay, is there any particular one that you'd like to introduce and we could chat about a moment?
Certainly. I actually had a very powerful, almost overwhelming dream a week ago Saturday.
Okay.
And I was physically, consciously lying in my bed, looking up at the ceiling, and next thing I knew, my dream was that I was lying in my bed, looking up at my ceiling.
Okay. A dream within a dream, okay.
Yes, it was. However, everything in my bedroom was exactly as it was in a conscious state.
Right.
With the exception of the ceiling.
Okay.
The ceiling became like a topographical map.
Yes.
Filled with angels.
Yes.
And as my eyes would move from left to right, and I would fixate on, look at that one. Oh, look at that one. It would come to life and begin to move.
Okay, the angel.
Yes.
Okay.
I continued to scan the ceiling for the angels.
Right.
And looked to my right, and there was a baby looking down. And I reached up, got out of my bed somehow, reached down.
Right.
Picked up the baby and held him, and put the baby in my bed, propped him up on my pillows, and the baby turned into a little old man. And I proceeded to just look into the eyes of this entity.
Right.
And I don't know if you've seen the movie Men in Black.
Yes, I have, briefly.
Well, there was a slight a moment in there where one of the female characters looks into a collar that is around a cat's neck,
right?
And in it she sees the galaxy, and is mesmerized by that. I basically was looking into the eyes of this little man,
right?
Formerly the baby on the ceiling,
okay?
And was filled with. Oh, if this was everything you ever wanted to know, this was everything. And I asked, I was able to collect myself enough in the dream state to say, who are you? What's your name? And what I heard, I wasn't sure, and I asked again, and I thought I heard something, and he looked at me and smiled, and next thing I knew, I was awake in my bed.
Right.
No more angels on my ceiling. And it took me about 24 hours to process that.
You know what the name was?
Well, what I heard and what I finally realized it was by asking in a different state the next day,
right.
I heard Naomi. But what it turned out to be the next day was, you know me.
That is correct. Do you understand your dream?
I have a take on it, but I would be curious to see what yours is, Phyllis.
Well, first of all, it was a multi-level dream, okay? You were having an out-of-body experience, which is why you were dreamed you were out of your bed. You were seeing your bed, and your body was moving into another dimension, number one. Number two, we always have angels around us. You were seeing your angels, and you were in that realm. The veil that stands between us and the next dimension has thinned almost to being not there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you were able to see. The baby is often the new ideas, a new awareness, new life, and the age stands for wisdom. And looking into the eyes, you are looking into your own soul.
Yes.
Because the eyes are the windows of the soul. And you were looking into the ancient mysteries which are known to you. We are all here remembering, and that was a very beautiful, very graphic description of that saying that you're getting to know yourself and the splendor of who you are, the ancient wisdom and knowledge that exists within your very being. And it's a new awareness. And your angels are there to show you that you are protected and guarded, and a new awareness is being born within you as we speak.
Thank you for that confirmation, Phyllis. I'm very much in sync with what your take on it is, and with one slight difference, and I wanted to bounce it off of you if I may.
It's your dream.
the baby upon reflection within the following 24 hours almost seemed like embracing that childlike spirit of myself as well.
That's another aspect of it, yes, ma'am. And if that's what's comfortable with you, that is very good, because your dream, and it's personal. Yes, the new child, the new beginning, that new awareness, without critical judgment.
There was none.
Nothing acceptance.
Yeah, there was none, and the little old man just was the smile on his face, and just, you know me.
Well, gathering him and embracing him into your heart and taking him into your bed is also metaphorical, you see, of becoming one with, you see.
Well, I was hoping maybe that was going to mean I was going to find a man.
Well, I'd find somebody other than a little old man.
Oh, no.
Of course, there's somebody for everybody. I'm not being judgmental here.
No. Well, I thank you so much for your insight and your input and your interpretation with that, Phyllis.
I
look forward to listening to more of your shows in the future.
Well, thank you. God bless you. And do have others listen, and we are so happy. I'm glad to hear somebody call in once in a while. So every once in a while, I feel like I'm throwing myself out into the void, and there's nobody there.
No, there's no void, my dear. We're here, and we're listening. And I thank you for sharing your gift.
Please do. And call back again, my dear.
I will do that. Thank you so much, Phyllis.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Nice evening. Yes.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh, you're welcome. Thank you. This is so much fun. I do love doing this, ladies and gentlemen, having people call in and talk to me. I do love it. I love it. I love it. Anyway, the other thing is, to let you know, as she said, I do interpretations of dreams. I do make my living as a psychic. You can reach me at my office at area code 202-387-2080. Again, that's 202-387-2080. I do readings. I do hypnotherapy over the phone. And healings, and I do channeling and dream interpretation, and I can sing and dance a little too, but we won't talk about that now. Anyway, back to what I was saying. This is the other thing that has struck me so much, is that more and more people are bringing into our lives, and I'm so glad she brought this to my attention, of having the angels being around us and the miracles that occur. These are not just imaginations to be poo-pooed and tossed aside. These are the realities of what there is. With our lives, with our awareness, with our minds, we create everything. Edgar Cayce said, spirit is the ideal, mind is the builder, and the physical is the result. If you put into your spirit, your saying, your affirmation, I want only the highest ideal to which I can attain. You can say that even if you can't specify an ideal. You want Christ consciousness. You want to be like an angel. You want to be like Muhammad or Buddha or Christ or the archangel. Whatever your highest ideal is, it could be truth, it could be love, it could be anything. Whatever you think it is, you can put it into your own words and say, my ideal is the very highest of whatever it is. And hold that concept in the forefront of your mind. Your mind will pick up that order. Your spirit will send that order down through the mind and into the emotions. And eventually, it is going to become the reality in your life. Don't forget that everything in our lives today was once the ideal in the mind of a man or a group of men. And then it became built as they put things together. The concept of communications, of telephone, for example, what was the ideal behind that? Alexander Graham Bell's mother was deaf. he worked to find a device to help his mother hear. His ideal was out of love for his mother to help her life be easier, to give her the gift of hearing. And out of that came the telephone, the phonograph, and look at what we have today. So one man's mind, one woman's mind, can bring forth such an ideal. We have Mother Teresa, and we have Mahatma Gandhi. We have so many people who have worked and struggled, and their life is a living example of what love is. And you know, sometimes it's just the neighbor next door, like the gentleman who lives about a half a block from me, who takes care of me. He comes as far as doing the grass, cutting the grass, packages, helping fix little things around the house. The gentleman is 84 years old now. This man is the embodiment of what a Christian is, of a loving, kind neighbor. He is an example. This dear Mr. Boone and his lovely wife, Bertha, are an example of what good Christians really are and what love truly is. They don't have a lot of money, but you know something? I admire them and would put them at the head table anytime, and I would put them before me because I am so humbled by the beauty of their souls to shine through when they are kind to others. They have taken family and friends in. Out of their little bit, they give a lot. And again, we are coming into a place in this beautiful world of ours where this spirit that is gathering little by little, line upon line, person by person, individually is coming together to create a heaven on this earth. And that's what we are all here for. We are here, each of us, to bring our love as we perceive God through our own actions and minds and desires and expressions, wherever they may be, however they may be. There is nothing that's too humble, and nothing is too great. We are all one, and we are all bringing this love together in a exquisitely beautiful flashings of color. Do you notice that the colors are more bright? Open your eyes and see. Are the colors not more bright and more beautiful? Does not the sound of nature have a better sound, a clearer call? Are the songs of the birds not more joyous? Does the breeze not feel better? The sun more wonderfully warm on our skin? Is it not so beautifully exquisite when we decide that this is how we would like to see things? It sure beats the other way around. And as I was saying, I've been through a lot of challenges in my life also. Right now, I would like to let you know I won't be here next week on Thursday. If each of you would say a little prayer, I'm having eye surgery in one eye next Thursday. And I'm hoping to have a Tara or Mary Ellen or someone else.
Put them on. We have another caller.
Oh, I have another caller? Yeah, okay.
It'll take me a few seconds to put them on the air.
Okay. I'll wrap it up. I'm just going to say next Thursday I have surgery. If you'd say prayers for me, thank you. I'd appreciate it. And we have a caller coming online. As soon as they're here, let them speak for us. But the joy of life is living it. And I myself have seen the most magnificent miracles, in my opinion, in my life lately, because of the joy of what I am doing and the surrendering of myself to the law of love and the source of all there is. And believe me, being a Capricorn, I like to have a grasp and control of issues. Do we have our caller on yet?
Yes.
Okay.
Who's our caller? Yes, my name is Lamont. How are you?
Hi, I didn't catch your name.
Lamont?
Lamont, yes, Lamont. Welcome to the higher dimensions.
Yeah, it's a beautiful show.
Thank you. How
beautiful.
Kind of you to say so.
Mm.
How may I serve you this evening?
Excuse me?
How may I help you this evening?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I had a very short dream.
Yes.
And I was asleep.
Yes.
And I woke up and I was in a dark room.
Uh-huh.
It's funny, I knew I woke up, but I opened my eyes and everything was just pitch black.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, I seen like a pedestal with a goblet, like a chalice, on this pedestal, and a light was shining down on that pedestal
right.
with the goblet. And it was the goblet was the color of a tarnished penny.
Yes, you know, copper colored. Mm-hmm.
Yes, but it was real dark.
Yes.
And it started to spin very, very slowly. And
right.
As it spun around, it started to change, got brighter and brighter, until it like was a gold, but looked like a diamond.
Ooh, beautiful.
Yes. And all of a sudden, I just woke up. It was a very short dream.
Uh-huh.
And I just woke up, and that was it.
Well, of course, metaphorically speaking, the pedestal is what we put on a pedestal. That's our ideal.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Do we not, when we say we put something or someone on a pedestal, that means we have a high regard for it.
Okay?
The copper color, now copper seems to be a very humble metal, right?
Uh-huh.
And tarnished means it needs, it's not been taken care of, it's not been shined.
Okay.
But the spinning is an aspect of energy.
Oh.
And as we put more energy into our ideal, we think of it more, we put more love, if you will, into it,
uh-huh.
more emotion into it, the faster it goes. And as it does, it clears anything from it and becomes the diamond, which reflects what? All the facets. Okay, diamond is the most precious mineral. And it is pure white and captures all the colors in the spectrum. It is a combination of all, again referring to the source of one or God.
Yes.
And as you watch that, you know, it almost does it by itself. Again, I think your dream is saying, if you focus on your ideal, and you focus on that light, that's that positive energy, that source of all there is, and you cast that as your ideal, you will see it taking over and spinning and clearing out those negative energies in your life and creating for you the beauty and the awareness of becoming one with the source of all there is. A chalice also is a cup that holds something. And we have that in the beautiful Psalms when it says in the 23rd Psalm, my cup runneth over.
Mm-hmm.
Thou settest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over.
Perfect, yes.
That is the abundance of what? God's blessing on you.
Mm-hmm.
We also drink deeply of the waters of the cup of life, which is what? Spirit.
Yes.
So on several levels, your dream, that was your higher self, giving you a call to come to the source of all there is, to become aware of your ideals.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
From what it sounds like.
Yes.
Sounds like as the dream went on, you were you poured your energies and your focus on it, and the more you were in trance with it, the faster and faster it went. The more you invested in the energy of your intensity of focus,
mm-hmm.
the faster it went and the more beautiful it became.
Yes.
That's what you should do with that. Excuse me. That's what you should do with your life, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Focus on your ideal. Put your energy and direction there, and don't let anything lead you off to the side. And that's what our problem is we tend to lose interest if things don't happen immediately.
Right.
But that was a very, very spiritual and encouraging sign, sir.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
God bless, and we'll talk to you again, I hope.
God bless. I will.
Call back.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. So back to part of what I was saying, and thank you so much for calling in. It does my heart glad to hear your voice. All that we are going through, please look at them as storms that are going to come down with the rains that will wash away the dust and dirt that's in the air and clear the energy. And there are many of those helping us. Many, many people are helping us. And more people are seeing angels. This is not hallucination. This is real. This is where we really are. The earth itself is the illusion, if you will, because it's been made up by the mind of man. Man has created this stuff on earth. God created man, and he said, go play and have fun. And man said, yippee, recess, and off she went. And then we got in squabbles, and then we did all of this neat stuff and bad stuff to us. And we've had highs and lows and ins and outs. And now we are coming to a place where God is saying, you have a choice of coming now. It's your choice. Let's see what you do with it. Energy is here for us to use. To use to create more beautiful things. There's more abundance coming for each person. If there's abundance in our life, it's because we've created it with our energy. If there's a lack of abundance, even say, oh, I want abundance, I want it. But what have you done to create it with your thoughts? We go around putting negatives out so much. I mean, for me too, it's been really hard, as conditioned as we are in this earth, and I'm just conditioned like everybody else, to see things from kind of a negative standpoint of lack. Well, I don't have this, and I don't have that. And if you start saying, I have it, not in the future, not I will have it or it's coming, I have it now. It is here now. Everything that you need to be fulfilled, at peace, in joy and harmony with yourself and nature and God and all other creatures, including humans and animals, is already there within you. You don't have to run to a mountaintop. You don't have to go to a steamy jungle. You don't have to climb into a cave. You don't have to go sit in a crowded conference hall or pay a lot of money to listen to this person or that person. Everything that you want to know, everything about love and hope and peace and joy, about knowledge, about wisdom, everything is already in you. All you need to do is remember it, to ask for it to be brought to your remembrance. And then the creativeness is the marvelous ways in which this information does come to you. It can come to you in a TV program or hearing someone in a conversation at a train station or on a bus or in a hallway, or it could be a radio show, or it could be just observing something with no sound, like watching a scene unfold you across the street. Or it could be a book you read or a magazine, anything. But the more you open yourself up to this marvelous awareness that exists inside you, the more knowledge you will have and the more information that you want to be given to you will be brought to you. You can be inundated. Remember, you don't have to chase around after information anymore. It comes to you. Does that mean you don't go to listen to people to lecture or give workshops? No, that's not what I mean. They all have valid ways of bringing information to you. But understand, if you can't afford it, you have what you need to know inside of you. A book at the library is just as good. Looking it up on the internet, talking to a friend, talking to someone on a radio show, all of these are valuable, viable ways of receiving information. And we're coming down, I know, near to the end of the show. So, again, I wanted to let you know that I am having a wonderful time talking to you all. I am having a wonderful time sharing. I would again like you to remember me in your prayers next week. I would appreciate it. I would also like you to remember that Comfort One Shoes in Washington, D.C. is a wonderful, wonderful store. The one at Union Station is absolutely fabulous. I buy a lot of my shoes there, from the fashionable high heels, beautiful Italian style, to sandals, to espadrilles, to men's shoes, to walking shoes, whatever you need. Whatever the style, Comfort One Shoes has it for you. From the halls of Congress to the malls of America, Comfort One Shoes at Union Station is an absolutely wonderful place to shop. And if you mention our ad or you call them and order shoes, you get an extra $10 to $50 off the price. Just mention our ad. Their phone number is 202-408-4947. Again, I'm going to tell you, I'm hoping to have a Tira or Mary Ellen. We'll know next week. And the week after that, I will be back with you. We are going to have some more wonderful guests on. I'm always happy to share with you what I am doing and what I am learning. My life has been so blessed in the last couple of weeks with all that I have been doing. I, too, go through this in surrendering, and I'm of the old school that believes if I can go through something and it works for me, by golly, I'm going to share it, because if it happened to me, it can happen to anybody else. And I wanted to let you know, I told you last week, I think I was starting on a new diet. Well, I'm still on it. It's Isogenics. It's absolutely wonderful. I do not feel hungry on it. Monday will tell the tale, because I'm seeing my doctor after 3 weeks of being on it. I'm fully expecting to have lost some weight. I can feel it on my face. I can see it in my clothes. It is healthy, respectable. It's a good food nutrition supplement. I'm not a hard sell person. I can only tell you, geez, if it works for me, it works for anybody. I have a thyroid problem. I'm still losing weight. Not a problem with that. And, yes, I exercise. I do yoga. I'm doing Pilates. But I'm not killing myself with it. I'm being respectful and healthy with my body. Isogenics does a lot of good stuff for us, and maybe I'll talk to you about it on another show, but I'm not plugging it. Anyway, before we get cut off, I'm going to repeat again that I'm Phyllis Pricer with the Higher Dimension. You can reach me at 202-387-2080, or you can look me up on the webpage through BBS Radio. BBS Radio, the people are absolutely marvelous. I just am so proud and pleased to be affiliated with them, and the wonderful, wonderful opportunity they've given me to open my voice and reach out to you and share with you. And I'd like to reciprocate. I'd like you all to call back, and if there's a topic that you want me to cover, well, if I don't know anything about it, I'll certainly look and see if I can find somebody who has knowledge of it. We are for the spiritual, for the highly developed. We are trying to help people reach any way we can through any valid, respectful, loving ways we can to become better human beings, to become better servants of ourselves and of others. And I wanted to leave you with words of love and knowledge and wisdom that you are all special, that you are all children of God. You are all one with God. Each one of you has a unique gift that you and only you can give to this earth and to those around you. Each place that you occupy is a blessed place. And I want you to know that. Not just believe it, but know it. And be aware that all that you are is a loving and caring gift from your Creator to yourself, and then from you to yourself and back to your Creator. A lot of people are seeing angels lately. I've been aware of angels around me. They are coming here to help us to move into this new energy that's opening up, the veil that is slowly disappearing between this level and the next level. We are moving into the fifth dimension. We are graduating, but there is an awful lot to learn yet. And it does take time. It doesn't happen overnight. Some things happen overnight. Let me back up. Never say never. I know that. But basically, it unfolds beautifully like a flower day by day. And if you look for a miracle to happen in your life each and every day, you know they will happen. It would be a phone call, finding two parking spots in downtown D.C. on the same day. If you don't think that's a miracle, believe me, it's a miracle, and it happened. I'm here to tell you, right on the street, we found a parking spot in two different places that we had to go one day. And I just am so excited about what's happening and unfolding around me, and I am so excited about sharing it. One of the things that Mr. Twyman suggested, and I have heard elsewhere too, as far as opening your awareness and development, is concentrating and bringing your energy to your heart chakra, to the heart, and just focusing on that energy in your heart and seeing your heart open up. Some people say see a door opening up. Some see your heart opening up. Some say look at the top of the heart and see if you can see the thyroid expanding. But bring this energy of your heart in. Bring love energy in through the top of your head, and just have it come down into your heart, and as you throw your heart open, see that energy expand and see that light coming through your heart. It can be pink. It can be pure white. Whatever color is coming out of your heart, just share that energy. See it filling every portion of your body, expanding through the chest cavity, opening up, encircling you, and protecting you. And see that energy extending through you, through the room that you're in, through the building you're in, through the town, through everything. Just see that heart energy just encircling the entire globe. And just focus for a moment on sending that fabulous love energy, that source of God itself, herself, himself, that pure love, and bathing everyone and everything, including yourself, in that glorious energy of love and healing and truth and light. And then slowly see that light, as long as you want to see it, and slowly just see it gradually coming back to you, back into your heart, little by little, until it is in your heart. And know that that gift is in you. And every time you send energy out of love to yourself and to others, you are helping to heal the world. You are helping to bring peace. You are bringing comfort to those who are suffering or in pain, because love conquers all. You can do the same thing with allowing the fear of stuff to just disappear. Whatever you might fear, take that energy and put it, as it were, in the center of a heart of light. And just let that light absorb that. Take it into, transform, transmute, change, whatever you wish to say, that fear, whatever that fear may be. And watch the power of love disintegrate. Just make null and void that fear. And watch and see what happens in your life, because as you remove your fears one by one, or the negative thoughts, your life itself becomes more and more of a living, breathing prayer, of a greater gift of glory and praise to God and to all mankind. And that's what we're here for. We are here to serve and to know and to love. And when we do that, we create heaven on earth right where we are. It doesn't take money to bring happiness. It takes love. It doesn't take owning a lot of material things to bring balance and harmony and joy. But it does take balance, harmony, and joy to bring the manifestation of everything else into our lives, everything worthwhile and meaningful. So this I would highly recommend you do. I am so pleased to be able to speak to you this evening. And I think we're fast coming to the end of our show. And again, I would like to repeat that we are so glad that you have listened in tonight and called in. I'm Phyllis Pricer with the Higher Dimensions. Please feel free to log in at the BBS radio station and listen to Atira. She's wonderful. She's on before me. She goes on an hour before me and ends, and I come on after she ends. And Marilee Ellen is wonderful, too, and Eva Herr. All wonderful, wonderful people that I recommend that you listen, and you can get the names of their shows and the times from BBS Radio. If there are any other questions that need to be asked, you know, feel free to call at this time. Or, as I say, I'm waiting for my producer to come on and say, hey, Phyllis, we got somebody else who has to pick up their show. You can't hog it all for yourself tonight. So, Don, if you're there, are you listening? I'll talk as long as you want me to. Okay. We'll continue talking till I get the old hook shoved out from the side stage to pull me off the stage then. Some of the other things that have happened in the world, I know have caused us a lot of problems. I think that what we also should do is look with light and love and understanding and suspend critical judgment of others. One of the things that we do is judge others too harshly and unfairly. And at times, I must admit, I am of the same ilk, and this is one of my areas of achievement and work for me, and that is to become less critical of myself and then hence of others. So this is an area that each of us can work on, and again, by becoming
we
more
well
We've
you
gone
the next show on?
You're ready to get the next show on. I've been holding stage setter for you, darling.
Oh, no, I just, normally people after 55 minutes, 5 minutes to the top of the hour, they just either hang up or close the show.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.